It's a curved wall filled with photographs and biographies of 125 people. They represent contributors to politics, the arts, religion, sports, and social activism. Some are familiar names within the LGBT community, like that of playwright Tennessee Williams or Christine Jorgensen, one of America's first openly transgender individuals. Others, by necessity, lived more closeted lives, like social reformer and Nobel Peace Prize winner Jane Addams. Victor Salvo is executive director of the Legacy Project. He says the exhibit grew out of a desire to learn more about the people he calls his ancestors and to pass on their stories to successive generations. The idea for the wall came to him in 1987 after he spotted a poster during a gay rights march in Washington, D.C.
We were walking the streets and I found myself literally standing on top of a poster. Then I looked down at it with my footprint on it, and on it it said, "Sometimes history is set a little too straight." And it had some images of people. So there was like Bessie Smith and Cole Porter and James Baldwin and a whole bunch of folks. And then all of a sudden, the face of Eleanor Roosevelt. And I was struck by Eleanor Roosevelt, and I picked up and I looked at this, and several of my friends assured me, yes, that she was bisexual. And all I could think of was, if more people knew that someone like Eleanor Roosevelt was part of our community, maybe they wouldn't hate us so much.
One of the things that strikes me in looking at this wall is there are a number of names up here that you would not expect to see. For example, a couple of political figures, U.S. Representative Barbara Jordan, African-American congresswoman from Texas. Many remember her booming, powerful voice.
Absolutely. She was an incredible speaker. Yeah, she's here. Most people don't realize that Barbara Jordan was in a relationship with Nancy Earle for over 30 years. And there are a number of people who fall in the category of those who were in the closet, but the closet had no door. All you had to do was stop and look inside, and you would see that.
Another person you might not think of, Frances Perkins, who was the Secretary of Labor in President Franklin Roosevelt's administration.
First woman to hold a cabinet-level position in a U.S. administration. She was in a relationship with a railroad heiress, and they lived together. They're actually a very famous and popular Washington couple. And the tragedy about her particular life is that after her partner died, she lost the home and everything that they had worked for together. And she kind of slipped into obscurity relatively quickly, considering what she actually achieved. You know, the 40-hour work week, Social Security, child labor laws, the whole idea of unemployment compensation, all these things. She was the architect of all of that, basically the entirety of what we think of as the New Deal under FDR. Was created by Frances Perkins.
We're still in the section of the wall that's politics, diplomacy, and military. And there's another person up here that might be surprising to people, Alexander the Great.
Back in 323 BC, there was more of a pansexual ethos that people did not have quite the demarcations in their relationships that we do today. And Alexander did sire a child in order for there to be a succession of property rights. But his lover was General Hyphastion, who was the commander of Alexander's military forces. And they had been together since childhood. And their story is particularly striking for me because reading about when Hyphastion died, Alexander, as they say, threw himself on the body, would not allow the body to be moved for 2 days. And then after erecting the funeral pyre to set fire to him, Alexander took a knife and cut off all of his own hair and folded it into the hands of his beloved and vowed that they would be together soon. And 8 months later, Alexander himself was dead.
But how do you know with these long ago historical figures that they were gay or bisexual? Have you gotten any pushback from historians to say, no, that's not correct?
This evidence all exists already. These people have already been studied, but it's one of those, if a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, doesn't make a sound. The fact that people have written about Barbara Jordan but have bothered not to mention Nancy Earle's existence in her life makes the fact that she was there no less true.
And still here in the section of the wall, politics, diplomacy, and military, is Dag Hammarskjöld, who was a revered Secretary General of the United Nations, died in 1961. How much was known about him in his lifetime and while he was at the UN?
There's very little that was really written about him while he was alive. It pretty much was all written about him after he was passed. And he was only really known for having had a relationship with one man. But the rumors about him being homosexual actually always followed him, even into the UN General Assembly. And they were always sort of there in the background. There's a really wonderful quote by him. If I could read it, it's very, very telling. Basically, what he says is, "We are not permitted to choose the frame of our destiny, but what we put into it is ours. I've always felt that Hammarskjöld had to keep this secret in order for him to do what he had to do, and that was really the case from a lot of these people. It was a personal price they chose to pay in order to be able to achieve the thing that they were called to do.
Another thing that might strike a person looking at the Legacy Project wall is that there were gay, bisexual, transgender people in almost every era. Were there some eras that were more hospitable to gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual people?
These relationships very often existed very quietly within the matrix of society, and everyone in every family always knew there was somebody that was like them. It was really only until the crosshairs were pretty much laid across, people who were LGBT and politics began to enter into the mix, that it became really problematic. But, you know, people have been serving in the military since the time of Baron Friedrich von Steuben, the first Secretary General of the Army, during the Revolutionary War.
The American Revolutionary War.
We're always trapped by virtue of the fact that we have been written out, purposefully written out of the history of man. And if you consider the fact that for most people, all they really know about world history is what they've learned in high school, if we've been removed from the story from the beginning, it makes it extremely easy to pretend as though we were perpetually some contemporary aberration that simply decides to willfully not be heterosexual, instead of acknowledging the fact that even though we're somewhat different, we're basically just like everybody else, and we have been around for a really, really long time. So the purpose behind the wall is to basically just put that one sentence back into the biography that was removed. And it's an opportunity for people like yourself to discover new information, but it's most critically for kids who are forced to grow up still today without the benefit of LGBT role models. And that forces them into a position of where they're culturally marginalized, they're socially marginalized, and they have nobody to look up to. And that's the world that I lived in. And the reason why this wall exists is to begin to give them something that we did not have.
There are, of course, some churches that continue to not recognize same-sex marriage and who still preach against homosexual activity. And yet, if we walk around the side here of the wall to the other side, there's two sides here. There are a number of well-known Catholic figures here and religious figures, including some Catholic saints. Let's talk about some of these people.
So the people that you actually see here on the wall are just a small sampling of people who have had some religious significance in kind of the cultural mindset of people. For instance, the singing nun, Jane Decker, as most people don't realize, that she was a lesbian who eventually left the church over the church's stand on reproductive choice.
People may remember her song, Dominica, Nica, Nica.
Yes, which was famously portrayed by Debbie Reynolds in a biographical picture that had absolutely no basis in reality whatsoever. There's also Father Michael Judge, who was the saint of 9/11. He was the priest who was a chaplain to the ladder company, which was close to the Twin Towers, and he was part of the first responder group that went there, and he was killed after giving the last rites to a fireman by falling debris. He's considered to be the saint of 9/11, and he was designated as victim 001. He was an openly gay priest, celibate, of course, but made no secret of the fact that he was gay.
Here's a name that jumps out at me, Cardinal John Henry Newman, because his name adorns many Catholic chapels at universities, including here at Illinois State University. The chapel used to be known as the Newman Center. He is up for canonization. He's here on your wall. What was his story?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and again, with all these people who are priestly figures, we make no issue about whether or not they ever breached their vows of celibacy. A vow is a vow, and that's irrespective. But his relationship with Father Ambrose St. John endured for 38 years. And when you look at the personal writings between them, it is evident that there was such passion between these two men. And when Father Ambrose St. John died, Father Newman said that he could not imagine that any husband's grief at the passing of his wife could possibly exceed his own. And he insisted in his last will and testament that he be buried in the crypt with Father Ambrose St. John's bones.
Would that mean a great deal to the gay community if he were to be canonized?
Among Catholic gay people, he really is lionized. So I would think it would be enormously important for gay Catholics. So for a lot of these folks, it's really about not so much an assertion that, oh, he was a gay man. We're not really so much saying that as much as he's really important in our history.
People are nominated to be on the Legacy Project wall. How are they nominated, and who nominates them? Who decides whether or not they get on the wall?
First of all, you have to be deceased, so these are all posthumous. And then once that process begins, we take a look at their story, we look at the resources that are provided, we dig up more resources, and it takes a while to kind of piece the reality together. And then what you have to do is distill this, in some cases, a really complicated life down to 300 words. Because all these things are just very brief abbreviations of these people's lives. Their intention is to spike your curiosity enough to make you want to research further. And there are some people like Dr. Antonia Pantoja, the Puerto Rican activist. Well, she may be completely obscure to people who are not Puerto Rican, but she is iconic for Puerto Rican people. But most people just don't know about it because for so many of these folks, this is what you call the ultimate inconvenient truth.
Victor Salvo is the executive director of the Legacy Project based in Chicago. Thanks again.
Really appreciate it, and we're so grateful to our hosts here at Illinois State University.
I'm Judy Valente.